Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. And please be seated.
Introduce the speaker for today. But before I do, I just wanted to thank Jane's mom who played the piece for the offertory. The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree. You see where Jane gets her musical talents, and it was very nice. Thank you. And Jane's mom said from God, but some of that is through your DNA, I think. But anyway, this morning's speaker, Pete Cannizzaro, many of us have already become familiar with him. He's been here a number of times in the past, and we really appreciate his willingness to come and share with us God's word and the message that God has given him to share with the congregation here. And he's probably thinking that he's glad that James isn't here to share with him a story about his college days, because James was one of his roommates back in college. What was it called back then? St. Paul Bible College, right? Now Crown College. But knowing that Pete was going to be here, Pastor shared with me a story to share with you, so that he wouldn't miss having a story shared with him about the college, the good college days. Well, it appears that back in the day, and it was a number of years ago now that Yins were in college, they didn't have cell phones back then, so they used a regular phone. And so when it was in there, I don't know if you had an apartment. I wasn't familiar with all the. I might get this not quite exactly right, but you'll get the gist of it. Yins had a. You shared an apartment or a dorm room. I don't know what it was.
We did both.
You did both, and in one of those places, I'm not sure which one, is not really important. But you decided it was good if you had a phone, and so you got a phone, because Yins made a lot of calls. Particularly, Pastor told me that you made a lot of phone calls to a girl that you were fond of that is now your wife, who lived in New York. And so they got a phone so that many calls could be made. And Yins all went together to pay for that phone. But Pastor said that they each gave like a few dollars, and you got the majority of the bill because you made the most calls on the phone and predominantly used the phone the most. So at the first billing, it was around, I may get these numbers incorrect, but it's not that important, but the idea is that they got a bill for around $80, and so James and whoever else was sharing the place with you chipped in like $5 or $10 or something like that, and you paid the rest of the bill, and you sent it in to pay the first bill, and then the next month came, and the bill came again, and you realized that that first bill that you paid hadn't been received for some reason, and they asked you about it. Did you pay the bill? And he says, yeah, I sent the money in. And she said, well, what was the check made for? And he said, well, I didn't send a check, I sent cash. And so somewhere along the line, that cash didn't make it to the right source. I'm thinking through this in my mind, being a postal worker, that sometimes things happen where things get loose in the mail. It's kind of a mystery how that actually happens. Pardon me? We don't like to call it thievery. We like to call it mistakes that happen. And a lot of those things go right into the Postal Retirement Fund. And so, on behalf of the Postal Service, I want to thank you for donating that first sum of money to our Postal Retirement Fund, because hopefully within the next number of years, I'll be able to cash in on some of that money. So anyway, I'm sure there's more to it than that, but that's kind of the word I got from Pastor James, and he probably could tell it better, but being a postal worker, I really enjoyed that story anyhow. So anyway, thank you, and we're looking forward really listen as Pete speaks to us today, because one of the things I appreciate about Pete is he has a passion for sharing God's word and what God is up to now. Because God is always working, God is doing a new thing. And when I hear Pete speak, Pete is aware of what God is doing now in his church. And God is always working and doing things, and we want to be a part of that. So this morning, let's listen to Pete as he shares that with us.
You've heard the expression, going postal? I didn't do it. I didn't go postal on that. Actually is a true story that did happen. I wonder what $70 looks like 30 years later, how much that would be equivalent to. Oh man, the things that we did that are still back there that are coming back to me, it's kind of scary. I notice I've never asked him to speak wherever I am. Oh man. This is actually the first time speaking with you since James was diagnosed with cancer. And I still remember, I was actually at ATS. I'm getting my doctorate now, and I was in class, and Robert, your brother-in-law, called me over, and he had tears in his eyes, and he told me that he had just gotten a call from James to tell him he had been diagnosed. And of course, he and I start crying, and we begin to pray right there. So this is my first time with you, and it's, you know, been a journey, has it not? And here are two things I'd like to say to you in light of that. Number one is that he has gone through the valley of the shadow, and he is coming out stronger. His faith in God is a beautiful thing to see, and he is a stronger leader because of this, and hopefully a better husband, and a pretty cool dad, you know. To speak at your baccalaureate, that's pretty cool. When your dad speaks, and that to me is testimony of where God has been leading him and his response to God with his faith. But as I talked with him through this, I've also noticed with you too that the level of unity here has gone to another level with him. You have gone through the loss of a pastor, but now you've gone through a pastor who's walked through this and coming out the other side. And you and your response, as he told me stories, tells me you're at another level of unity. And that is very important in church history and in church life. If you look at John chapter 17, I'm not preaching on that, but I just want to say thank you. On behalf of my friend, probably one of my best friends, if not my best friend, in spite of the things he said. And I will say this, I have a new nickname for him. My nickname for him to keep him humble in light of his growth is Pac-Man. Pac-Man, if you don't understand that word, I'll explain that to you after. As a result of this surgery, I call him Pac-Man. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, I love ripping him. There's few things I enjoy more in life. Penn State victories and ripping my friend. But I did want to say that those two things as I think about your body. Let's get into the word here. Let me transition. Here's what I want to talk to you about today. In light of where he's been, in light of where you are, I want to talk to you about leadership and followership. That concept, in light of where you are. And it's very important. I want to talk about this because of where you are. Have any of you ever heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Have you heard of her? Raise your hand if you've heard of Corrie Ten Boom. Amazing! Even now, after all these years, you still hear about her. One of my favorite stories about Corrie, if you don't know who she was a watchmaker. Her family owned a watchmaker store in the Netherlands during World War II. During the war, they tried to hide some of the Jewish people from the Nazi government, got caught, were sent to concentration camps, and she lost most of her family. And she tells this story in her book, Tramp of the Lord, of a conversation she had with her sister, Betsy. And this is their conversation after being in the concentration camps for, I think at that time, about a year and a half. So they have been through the guts of this. And this is what Betsy, Corey's sister, says to her. Listen, Corey, God has shown me we have work to do. God has shown me that after the war, we must give to the Germans what they sought to take away from us, the love of Jesus Christ. Corey responded as only she could. In her mind, she thought, what? Betsy, you mean if we live? And if we do, I want to go back to the Netherlands and go back to a simple life. And Betsy said, yes, I know. There's much bitterness here. But we must tell them about the Holy Spirit who can fill and heal their hearts again. And Betsy went on, this concentration camp here at Ravensbrück has been used to destroy lives. We must now go back and come back and use it to build lives. Corey said, she just was beginning to see it. She was struggling, she said. And Betsy continued, we must live with them in Germany, travel the world and bring the gospel of hope, and God will take care of us. And slowly, Corey says, I began to catch the vision of what she was talking about. 3 days later, Betsy dies. And when you read her story, here's one of the things I saw from her life, is this. Whenever God spoke about what he wanted her to do, her job was to follow. When God gave directions of specific things, her job was to follow. And when you see the story, she eventually goes back to Germany. And I'm going to share that in a moment. It's an amazing story. What I want to do with you here is John chapter 13 to 16. It's all about a conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. John 13 to 16 probably is one conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. If you look at the Gospel of John as a whole, John devotes half of his book to 1 week in Jesus' life. 1 week. John takes 4 chapters and basically talks about one conversation. And what Jesus does here in this conversation is this. He says to them, I'm going to be leaving you. And in John 13, it says he begins to show the full expression of his love, right? And in 5 specific insights, Jesus gives about someone else who would come into their life that will lead them. It's the Holy Spirit. Very, very important transition. And so when you look at this, he describes the Holy Spirit what? We use the word counselor. It's not always the best word in the translation. It's a better word is advocate. Because counselor, we think of what? Someone who counsels and gives comfort and guidance. The Holy Spirit does that, but it was more than that. This idea that a paraclete is the originalist, this idea of an advocate coming alongside, advocating everything that Jesus said. So in the disciples' mind, they're thinking, you're leaving us? At one point, he says, it's okay. 5 times he says, here's what he's going to do in your life. I don't have time to talk about all 5. I'm just going to talk about a couple of them. And that's what I want to do. What kind of follower does Jesus look for when the Holy Spirit leads in your life? In Corey's life, I saw this, and this is what Jesus was all about. Because you, in your life, wherever you are, in your vocation, in your family, with your friends, at school, your occupation, or your ministry, you are called to lead. You've been entrusted. Whatever it is, you're called to lead. All of us in different times, in different places, different people. But this is the number one leadership 101 lesson I've learned about leader. I love the topic of leadership. Here it is. A good leader is first a good follower. If you follow the Holy Spirit well and you follow your leaders here well, you will be a very good leader. You must learn how to follow. What kind of followers was Jesus after when he described these 5? First of all, here is the first one he talks about when he reveals the Holy Spirit. He says several things about it. Let's just turn there, John 14. We don't have time to get into, like I said, all 5, but here's the first one. John 14, verse 15. It says this, if you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, advocate, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Verse 20 or 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. When you think about leadership, when you think about following, first of all, here is the first thing about following, is that love, follow with uncompromising love. Follow with an uncompromising love. This is what Jesus is after. This is the mark of a follower. If you love me then for 3 years, and you're going to love me after that, when the Holy Spirit comes and he begins to show you things, let it be love that motivates you. Always love. Remember he says this, I'm going to the Father. Whenever a leader leaves, I thought about you all when you were in transition, or the possibility had entered your mind about losing James, or the possibility of whatever. There is that time of uncertainty, right? What is the outcome? What's it going to be like? We don't know. And there's that unsettledness. In the same way, they were going through that. And Jesus was going to leave after 3 years. But here's how I want you to follow. Love me supremely, uncompromising. And when you do that, I will show myself to you. That's the promise. He would reveal himself to you. That's what's so amazing about the Holy Spirit. He's going to advocate Jesus. I call this the rotisserie of love. When he begins to direct us and we hear him and we obey him, he's going to show himself to us. He hasn't left. It's just a different manifestation, a different role of Jesus in our life. And the Holy Spirit would do that. It's amazing. But you need to obey those areas. You need to obey. The second qualities of a good follower, as Jesus begins to unfold this, is this. Follow all that he teaches you, even the hard ones. Jesus begins to unfold the role of the Holy Spirit more. And he begins, because this was going to be new for them to follow. He says, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. I like this. I don't know about you, but you know when you're following somebody or you're in a new job or vocation and you're given directions about what you need to do, and you're in your mind, you're thinking, okay, I've got to write everything down. I don't want to miss. There's expectations on me, right? You know, before there was GPS, whenever you heard directions on the phone from somebody about getting from one location to another, didn't you write down everything you possibly can? Because what? My number one pet peeve in life is I don't like to get lost. If I get lost, my kids want to get lost. They don't like being in the same car with me because I don't like getting lost because it's a waste of time. In my mind, it's keeping me from where I want to be, right? That is my pet peeve. Right, Josh? My son's over here, right? I do not like to get lost. In the same way, Jesus is saying, hear this. He is going to tell you everything I brought to you. This is where I see the Holy Spirit working in people's lives. I call it flashcard teachings, flashcard reminders, where you just sort of go, you're walking along, and all of a sudden you'll have a thought, oh yeah, I've got to do that. That's not just your conscience, that's the Holy Spirit going, you need to do this? Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, you know how you say your conscious, or maybe you say it out loud or under your breath? Yeah, I need to do that. And then a day passes or a couple hours, and it comes up again. Whoop. Yeah, I need to do that. And then a couple weeks passes by. You need to do this. Yeah, I need to do. Flash card. He will remind you of everything. You think those are your thoughts? Those are his thoughts. Doug Bannister is a pastor in Tennessee that I know, says when he got very sick, they didn't know what it was. Doctors, he went on the web, they had the elders pray over them, they had no idea what was wrong with him. But they had an idea in terms of what was wrong, but what the source of the problem was, they didn't know. After the elders prayed with them, at night one of the elders called him, or actually in the morning, and said, Doug, I had a dream. And there were these three people. I don't know what it means, but I'm just going to submit it to you. Doug listened, heard the three names, and he knew immediately what he needed to do. Those three people he was at odds with in his church. He talked to all three. After he talked to the third one, the sickness left. The Holy Spirit, right there, began to show, these are things you need to work on. Restore these relationships. There's a relationship between sickness and interpersonal relationships sometimes. Amazing. Amazing. He'll guide you. He'll show you everything. Everything. He's that way. He leads us. Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. When I look over and over again in the area of leadership, I'm always wondering, how good a follower is this guy, is this woman? Do they really know how to hear from the Holy Spirit? Do they know how to respond to the Holy Spirit? Do they know how to follow? Number one, do they follow with an abandoned love? Secondly, do they follow here with this idea that they will follow even the hard teachings? David said this in his leadership. He said this at Psalm 141, let a righteous man strike me, it is a kindness. Let him rebuke me, it is oil on my head will not refuse it. What David is saying here is that when it comes time to when I'm in my leadership, I need people like Nathan in my life who will come and rebuke me. And you know what he said? It was like oil on his head. When you want to go to another level in your leadership and your family and wherever you're doing, submit yourself to a leader that's really walking with God and say, hey, do you see anything in my life? Wow. Then you'll go to another level. I did that in January. Whew. Wow. Talk about you're being rebuked. It was humbling. I'm going to share that with you in my conclusion. David did this. Hard teachings. Let the Holy Spirit do that. This is what Jesus is saying. Follow him. The third I see here in John 15:27, again, he talks about the Holy Spirit. He says this. Let's look at that. John 15. Turn there. John 15. Verse 26 and 27. John 15. It says, when the counselor comes, the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Something very important here when you're following the Lord in your life is the role here of, number one, follow his example by telling the story. There's a relationship, there's two dynamics of testify going on here. Jesus said he will testify to you, but then you must testify about me to others. There's an inward testimony of the Holy Spirit in your life where God does something and you go, yes, God. He then wants you now to go and testify out externally with someone else. When you do that, it completes it. You've gone to another level of intimacy and following God. When he testifies to you and you testify to others, there's a completion here. Very, very important in your following. Corey says this. This is an amazing story. I loved it when I read it. It's in her book, Trample the Lord. And she says, when God began to open up the door for her to go to Germany, they had gotten some invitations. This was during a time when East Germany was under communistic rule. And so she had to go through customs. And she says she was in line. And it was a very long line. When they came to her, they said, Fräulein, we're going to ask you to step over in this room. And so she goes over with her companion, and they were there, and obviously they were interrogating her, asking her all kinds of questions, and she began to see that she was on their target list. And so this guard was going through her stuff and pulled out a book on Billy Graham, Peace with God, that he had written back, I believe it was the late 60s, early 70s, and he began to look at the book, and he looked and said, oh, the machine gun of God. And those of you who saw Billy Graham in the 70s, he could preach like he was a machine gun. And over this time, 3 hours had passed, and this is what Corey says. She prayed, Lord, why are you delaying us? There are people in the church in East Germany that are waiting for me right now, for me to talk about you. Why are you delaying us right now? And the Lord began to speak to her and said to her very clearly, I have you here for a reason. And the scripture came to her mind. You will be led before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be a time, an opportunity for you to bear testimony. And all of a sudden, her heart began to change. She began to look at this guard a lot differently. She began to look at this guard as not an interrogator, but someone that Jesus loved, that God had brought her here for him. So all of a sudden, she said, you know, tell you what, that book right there, I've written that. I want you to have that book. And he looked at her and said, must I read it? She said, you don't have to read it. It's just there for you to learn about what it means to know God and walk with God. It's the story of what God has done in my life. And he takes the book, and she's bearing witness and begins to share the gospel with him right there in that room. That is following. That is being aware of the Holy Spirit. That is a good leader, is it not? I love it. The last one here is this. Follow his guidance about our future. This is probably my favorite. I don't know about you, but I don't like uncertainty. I don't like ambiguity. Do you? When it comes to your future, do you like that? Right now in our doctrinal studies, I'm learning about those kinds of leaders that can live with a lot of ambiguities and uncertainties and untied knots. And I like structure and order and rhythm and, you know, and I'm learning to, over the years, kind of live with that more. Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth, and he will tell you what is yet to come. I like that. Lord, just anytime you feel like you want to tell me what's yet to come around the corner tomorrow, bring it. I want to know. Because plus it's exciting to me. What he's saying here is this. For those of us who live in this age, when you live in this age compared to then or compared to the 1700s, the opportunity for information is amazing to us. I laughed when I heard about what you said about the telephone, Jerry, and man, if I had what we have today and I could communicate with my girlfriend back then, 30 years ago, free on weekends with cell phone and texting anytime I want, that blows me away of the availability that we have today. But in this generation, the availability of information is dangerous because it can flood your mind and it's hard to navigate through it. Leonard Sweet says this, there is more information in one issue of the New York Times newspaper than what an average farmer in the 17th century possesses in a lifetime. Whoa. Think about that. So when Jesus says the leadership of the Holy Spirit would be this way, what way? He'll guide you in what is yet to come. I like that because it gives me hope, like in this sea of information. I'm like, whoa, it's just like I have a hard time hearing. And so for the last 6 months, I've been detaching myself from a lot of stuff. I used to listen to ESPN Sports Radio 3 hours a day. Just, I loved it. Hearing about what's up, what's happening. I had to turn that off. Just turn it off. And I'm actually doing okay. It's okay. I have a painting business. I can listen. But now it's all been quiet. Just to listen to God. Just to listen, to be with my customers. I'm telling you what is yet to come. I want to share one story with you, that God is so awesome. Our God is so incredible. During my doctoral studies, one of our assignments was to do a family voyage, kind of a family history, find out about your family and all of this. And so it's not a biographical thing as much as it's look for those things in your family, the values and ideas and trends of how you got to be where you are kind of thing. And so I picked five areas. And so I interviewed a lot of my family. And one of them was my brother. My brother is 18 years younger than I am. He's 27. And so I did an interview, and so after the interview, I said, hey, bro, how was that? He said, man, this was cathartic. This was amazing. I said, good, good, good. So we got together, and or after, and we sat and ate, and they're expecting their second child. And I had no idea. I knew nothing about what they wanted to name the child. They were praying and thinking about it. What I did not know also, I did not know this, was that on Facebook the day before, they said to their friends, "We have an idea of a name, but we're not going to tell you. We just want God to confirm it. Here's what we're thinking." I didn't know that. And so I said, "Hey, let me pray for you guys and pray for this baby." And as I began to pray for them, all of a sudden I heard, "His name is Daniel." It's like, okay. So I stopped and I said, "Tim, Ashley, are you thinking of naming the baby Daniel?" Ashley looked at me, looked at Tim and said, "Did you tell him?" He said, "No." Then she looked at me and then both of them started to weep. I said, "What's going on here?" "That's the name that we had picked. This is the name that we had picked for our baby." And God was saying to them, "Yeah, that's going to be his name." At that point, I gave God a high five. "Way to go, God," right in the living room. He will guide you in what is yet to come. I love A.B. Simpson. I love his ministry. That's why I'm part of the Alliance. But one thing we've not done good 100 years later, we have not uncovered the things that he taught in the area that I just said right there. When God begins to speak at that level of intimacy, in the prophetic, and so on. That to me is following. What do you think they wanted to name the kid after that, right? "Oh, we decided to change the name." I don't think so. They named that kid Daniel. And when I saw Daniel, man, there was a connection there. You think? I'll do anything for that kid now. Right, Josh? That little guy? Isn't he incredible? I mean, we don't get to see him as much. But let me wrap this up for you, ladies and gentlemen. You're called to follow. You're called to follow him. That is how you get strong in leadership. This is what Jesus is saying is the role of the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead you. These are ways that he's asked you to follow. Follow him. Follow him. Follow him. I don't know what he's saying for you as a church. I'm not with you enough to hear. I don't know individually what he might be saying to you individually and what it means to follow him. But I will tell you this. If there is anything unresolved in your walk with God, if there are things that you have that are hang-ups or struggles or theological tensions that have made you pull back from God, deal with those. Deal with those. Don't let that get between you and God. Intimacy and closeness with him is what it's all about. It starts there, but needs to stay there. Let that intimacy guard it. Above all else, guard your heart, right? It is the wellspring of life. That intimacy, being close with God, let nothing get in there. Because I've allowed things in there that I'm not so proud of. If I could, next week I'm going to give you a visual aid, because I've devoted my life for the next 5 years to study about the soul and this emerging generation coming up, is how do we take care of them when the soul is just a mess? All kinds of stuff. How do we help them come out and be healed from that? And so what they're doing in our doctorate program is, first, they're dealing with us. And man, it's like I'm being cornered. You know? Like, wow, I didn't realize this was going to be so personal. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'll close with one story about this as we follow the Lord. The Lord spoke about a couple years ago. It said, "Peter, I want you to put down the paintbrush. It's time to get ready." For those of you who know, I've been bivocational and the Alliance has credentialed me and done different things in ministries, but it's time to get back in the full swing of things. And so that was about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And I've been like, okay, God, I'm ready. You know when you're ready for something and it's not happening? How do you get? Do you get antsy? Do you get anxious? Do you feel like sometimes you're being held back? Like everybody else, it's coming together for them, you know? They want kids and they can have kids and we can't. And you're anxious and you're striving and you're angry. And I remember specifically struggling with this anger, like, come on, God, what are you doing? And my professor looked at me and said, you have made your desire to be back in full-time ministry more important than your intimacy with God. And when you have done that, you have erected an idol, and God will not want that in your life. It's all about intimacy. You must surrender that. And as he's saying this to me, I just broke. I said, God, I am so sorry that I made my desires for ministry more important than you. You hearing me, folks? Amen? What's there? What needs to be dealt with? What's God poking, pointing? Right now, he's showing things, is he? Don't let that get between you and God. Intimacy, keep it open. Keep it open. Let nothing get between you and God. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart as the wellspring of life. And I'm going to believe God. He's going to begin to show things this week in your life, and then next Sunday we'll get together and we'll let God do some business. Let this not just be what I preach or whatever he illuminates, but what he may want to be able to do in prayer together. Because if you're like me, and I believe you are, there's some things that need to be dealt with. And I saw them in James. I saw him come out a stronger man. And you are a stronger church as a result of it. Let me pray for you. Oh, Lord, the word that I get, Father, is how patient you are. You are so patient. And we don't give you the credit enough, Lord, that you are a patient God. You will wait a long time for some people to come back to you. Lord, there's some people that you've waited 70 years till finally in the hospital bed, or 74, as my grandfather finally said, yes, I submit, I surrender to Christ. But Lord, I don't want to be that kind of person or anyone here. We want to be able to make things right and whole now. And we want, Lord, that place like David had where he saw your glory. He was amazed at your grandness. He knew your reality, your closeness, that you were worth it all, that nothing could compare with you. No kingship, no military victory, no wife, no success, no children. It all fell in comparison of knowing you and being close to you and knowing your glory. God, that's where we want to be. Thank you for this church and the history of this church, this 106 years of what you've done. But Lord, we need some healing, and we look forward to what you're going to do in your name. Amen. Amen.
Would you please stand with me? And we are going to sing Lead On, O King Eternal, hymn 451 in your hymnals. Lead on, O King Eternal, the day of march has come. Henceforth in fields of conquest, thy tents shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song.
Lead on, O King Eternal, to lands of deepest night. We follow where thou leadest as heralds of the light. May we to souls immortal thy word of life convey, and open heaven's portal through Christ the truth the way. Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fears, for gladness breaks like morning where'er thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light, and crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.
We pray for you guys. Lord Jesus, thank you that we know where we're going. We know you're leading us to your place. But Jesus, we know also that it's not just where we're going, it's who's coming for us. That you're coming back for us. It's not just that we're going to heaven, but heaven is coming for us. And so Jesus, as we follow you today, if there's anything that we need to make right with you, Lord, we want to do that. We don't want nothing to get between you and us, you and I, and you and the world. And we give you praise, God, for the way you're working in our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen. If anyone would like prayer, I invite you to come up here. I'll be glad to pray with you, but I'll see you next week. God bless.